experience an unpleasant truth.
America must choose to build a future or obsess about the past. To be a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Use your aggressive feeling.
Embrace anger, chaos, and truth, but in the shadow of lies.
Let the hate flow through you.
Together we can choose a different path.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
Our nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Break me down with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Embrace anger. Thrive on chaos. But in the shadow of lies.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. It is on the clock. As always, delighted to be behind the microphone to share what I believe is common sense conservatism with you. Never is complicated, easy to digest, and delicious. That's what we serve up. Okay, that last part was kind of a stretch. But, all right, so the whole idea today of the show, and if you're just tuning in now, hour number three on the Wendy Bell Radio Podcast, please go back and listen to hour number two, because our pollster, Rich Ferris, the People's Pundit, really exciting insight into what's going on in the world of demographics in this country and voting preference in this country. Got a lot of people who are tired of being taken for granted and taken advantage of, and they are ready to make a difference. I think this is so exciting. Threat to democracy. It's really the overarching theme of today's program. All of these threats to democracy. And it's a dog whistle, I believe, on the left. To Democrats, not to Republicans, because for some reason we don't hear that whistle. I don't hear the same pitch that these people on the left are hearing. I'm not picking up that sound, that frequency. But it's all about hurry, 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 hurry. Do you know what's at stake? If we don't do this now, it's crazy. On the flip side, on my side, where it's conservative and common sense, I see what they've done to threaten democracy and destroy it. So the choice is obvious to me. We've talked about the government, out of control spending, lying to us and saying that they believe in us, they represent our values, only to then go and vote rogue. This is why we pump all the time. The Liberty Score, conservativereview.libertyscore. You can go and you can search who the people are who so-called represent you and then fact check them in real time on their votes. You know, I didn't want you to vote for that infrastructure plan of suck. I didn't want $3 trillion in CARES Act nonsense. It's that kind of spending that leads us to the position that we're in and, of course, to inflation. It's not a mystery. Media, another big player. We played audio in number two, hour number two for you, of the left, the media, which are the one and the same, pushing out specific narratives to you that are dangerous. They are untrue. They are propaganda. They are demonstrable. And we've broken those down for you. So now what happens when a threat to your democracy means you not being able to choose with any kind of reliable and reliable certainty that your vote matters, that your vote is counted, that there's no funny business going on, that there aren't machines connected to the internet, that we can't watch in real time as a candidate's vote count goes down? In what world does it make sense during live coverage of an election for someone's votes to go away? It doesn't. And then when you ask questions about it, they have but one recourse, and it is to call you a supporter of the big lie. It doesn't make you a threat to democracy. if you see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears and dare to say, that's not good enough. I don't believe you. So that's going to take us to Michigan. Jocelyn Benson, Secretary of State. Piece of work. If I'm not mistaken, she was an acolyte of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a rabid left-wing establishment organization of SOC, period. If you see that acronym, SPLC, you know you're dealing in SOC. So she has graduated, failed upward to the Secretary of State's, and she's talking to some dude on whatever show. It's irrelevant, but what I want you to hear is what she says. They are in real time saying the quiet part out loud. We're scared as balls about this upcoming election. We do not like what's going on. And the people that we usually could count on, who would dutifully do as we say, have awakened from their hypnosis. Oh, crap. Jocelyn Benson says, well, you know what? I'm working with all these other secretaries of state to prevent democracy's death. That sounds an awful lot like collusion to me. It sounds like an awful lot like swing state shenanigans, which gave us 2020. Whether you want to say it or not, it is the truth. That's the way it goes. Listen to her say this. Audio soundbite number one. You know, it was a big deal in 2020. We got together. We did a kumbaya. And boy, didn't we have the results to prove it. Go.
Now, one of the things we saw in 2020 was that particularly in battleground states, we were all battling a common adversary, a really nationally coordinated effort to undermine the will of the people, both before, during, and after Election Day.
That's a huge misnomer, and it's a lie. And Jocelyn Benson, you suck. First of all, there was no coordinated effort to do anything. There was a coordinated effort for people to be able to choose and not for the establishment to choose and then to cover it up and then to run scared and then to create January 6th and to use that as a pants on fire smokescreen. Insurrection. Oh my gosh. Right. To hide what happened, period. So she just says to you, 2020, we worked together against a common adversary, a coordinated effort to undermine the will of the people. That's my 180 degree rule. She's pointing at something that she says happened when in reality, the finger should come back on her. Because they are the ones who did it. Audio soundbite number two. This is very troubling to those of us who actually believe in this constitutional republic, who believe in the idea of a democratic representation. That the swing state secretaries of state of Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Arizona are freaking working together. That makes me feel super duper. How about you guys? Go.
And we learned to semi-coordinate with each other in 20. You know, Katie Hobbs and I, who was Secretary of Arizona at the time, she and I are friends, so we would talk regularly.
Of course.
But there was really no way for us to consistently as a team, the six of us in those six battleground states, which Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia, to constantly both compare notes and also say, okay, how are we going to respond to this nationally coordinated effort with a coordinated response.
There was a nationally coordinated effort for we the people to choose who we wanted to be president, not for you to install someone of your choosing. That was the coordinated effort, of course. Just tell the truth. Just don't suck. Just try harder not to suck. Period. It shouldn't be complicated. But when your life and your whole identity is the wheeling and dealing and the collusion and the desperation to stay in power and, oh my gosh, we've got to do this or that. That's when you get that threat to democracy. This is what you're going to get. She's about to drop it on you right now. The future of democracy. We're in a future for the battle over democracy. Listen.
And so that's. Now we have that. We actually spent 2022 working to build that team in these six states. You've got strong voices now in Arizona and Nevada and Georgia and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and in Michigan. And we're all talking, we're all working together. And we're all very clear about what we're up against, because the battle over the future of our democracy isn't going to be in the post-election process only. It starts now.
Boom. The battle, she says. the battle over the future of our democracy. Again, it's just a big stamp that's supposed to make you feel as though, oh my gosh, thank goodness they're taking action for me. I mean, what would I be doing without Jocelyn Benson, without her meddling with five other secretaries of state? And I remember going back many years, and I did a BS board where we took three swing state cities, and we showed you the time that the vote count stopped and restarted and stopped and restarted, and they were all within a minute of each other. Is that part of the coordination, Jocelyn? Because it sure sounds so cool and nifty. Finally, audio soundbite number four. This is the one that they want you to realize that, no, don't trust yourself. It's all PR what other people are saying. You just trust me. Listen.
And it starts with how various court battles are playing out, and you'll see all of us getting hit with the same types of sham lawsuits that are lawsuits, you know, or PR campaigns masquerading as lawsuits. So as we work together, as we talk to each other, we can develop common strategies and be much more powerful, united as a team, even across party lines, than we would be if we were just fighting these battles in our respective states by ourselves.
Even across party lines, of those six secretaries of state, five of them are Democrat. One is Republican. It happens to be the guy in Pennsylvania. Never even heard the guy's name. Isn't that a shame? This is where we are. So she says, we're all getting hit with the same sham PR campaigns masquerading as lawsuits. Can you imagine if those lawsuits actually went through? Because none of them has. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Because they're so wrong or because they're so right? Curious. You decide what you think about Jocelyn Benson. All right, so pay close attention to the coverage of Texas. What's going on in Texas? Why is the attorney general there, Ken Paxton? He's got everybody's panties in a bunch. I'll explain why. Threats to democracy continues next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. The media is such a big threat. It's such a giant threat to democracy. And you can imagine how it's hard for me to say that. I was a member of it for 30 years. You know, I was a reporter and a news anchor for many, many, many years. I was part of this. It's over. It's game over. And they continue to shoot themselves in the foot in the mainstream media by disingenuously reporting facts that aren't facts, or taking something and twisting it to fit their prescribed narrative, that there's some existential threat to you, and without their intervention or without you voting a certain way or taking action in a certain way, which is almost always to your detriment, you're going to suffer in some capacity. Oh no! This really ticks me off. This whole, the attack on Ken Paxton because he is a MAGA Republican, the effort in the Republican Party in Texas, in the General Assembly, to impeach the man on evidence that didn't exist. It was some pay-to-play scheme involving home construction, some remodel of his kitchen. You would think that there would be a finished kitchen remodel if that was the case. But Ken Paxton never remodeled his kitchen. Everything that this stupid case was based on sucked. And it blew up in their faces. Look, in my mind, if you're a rhino, if you're going to vote to impeach somebody, that's a big deal. And you're not going to take the time to find the facts. You're not going to do your own due diligence. You're the same as a doctor who told his patients or her patients to hurry up and get 9 boosters. Did you not read all of the accompanying materials? Did you not see the printout of side effects that is an absolute, like, litany? It's like a scripture. So these votes, you need to be held accountable for what you do. How else are we to hold, how else are we to choose the leaders that move our country forward? Unless there is a checks and balance. And the checks and balance is you vote, we see how you vote, and then we get rid of you. That's the cool way here in America. So I saw this headline. This is NBCnews.com. After impeachment acquittal, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is out for revenge. You know what MAGA is not? MAGA is not about revenge. It's not about exacting some kind of retribution. We might sit back and enjoy people squirming. I might enjoy watching Joe Scarborough talk out of his butt and sound like a moron. It's fun. I enjoy that. But it's not about retribution to me or revenge. It is about something far more important. Saving America. It's not some like big talk. It's real. That is what this is about. So NBC, you suck. It's a disingenuous, misleading, on purpose headline. I want you to read a little bit about this. The Republican, this is the cut line. The Republican has endorsed more than 70 candidates in Tuesday's primary. This is a couple days old. Mostly backing those who voted against his impeachment or are challenging those who did. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to come at me, if you're Ken Paxton, Donald Trump, or anybody in the private sector, if you're going to come at me and you're going to say that I did something wrong, you damn well better have the proof to back it up. And if your goal is just to drag me through the courts, to bankrupt me in some capacity, to scar my reputation, to make me less palatable to the electorate, and you don't have the goods to back it up, damn right I'm going to come. Damn right I'm going to come for you. Damn right you need to be carved out, specifically if you're a Republican. Again, I don't care about the Democrats. I know who they are. I know how they vote. I know all of the shtick. They're dirty. Period. Okay. But how dare you pretend to be one of us and then to do that, to vote to impeach a man for a crime that wasn't committed? This is how I feel about any Republican, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, anybody who was down with throwing rocks at Donald Trump in totally ridiculous ways. Get out. Get out. Well, Ken Paxton isn't about revenge. He's about squaring up the Republican Party in Texas, a Republican Party that we know is under assault from George Soros and other dark money sources. They want to turn Texas purple. They want it to be blue. They want to take that state. This is exactly the gamesmanship of politics and elections. For Ken Paxton to say, these are the people I support. And if, hey, Texas, you believe in me because you saw what they did to me. You saw the witch hunt. You saw the smears. You saw the impeachment. You saw all of that. You saw the jabs, the hits, the attacks on my family, on my wife. If you're done with that as well, these are the candidates I support. And if you want to support them, I'd be honored to have your vote. Is that revenge? Or is that the freaking way it works, NBC? You suck. Doesn't that feel good to say it? I'll tell you what it does. Quick time out when we're back. Say some votes. Oh, I'm going to say this. Charles Barkley, let's just tell you, you probably didn't expect it. The pushback. Oh boy, buckle up. It's next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. It's exciting, as frustrating as it is for us to talk about the many ways in which people out there are actually threatening our freedoms. They are trampling our peace of mind. They have made things unnecessarily complicated. And yet these are the saviors who believe they have the tools. They are the ones who are able to save the day. It's the firefighter arsonist. You know, don't take credit for spotting the flames when you had an advanced start on it, because you started them. This is what they want to say. This is what Joy Reid was saying earlier in the program, talking about giving Biden credit for job creation or GDP or this or that. When you have a once-in-a-lifetime shutdown of your entire economy and then you open it back up, stuff happens. Please don't tell us that you're the one who created jobs. Something ridiculous worked its way through its course. And then people got back to work. Not enough yet. But this is their argument. So before the break, and I have to talk about Charles Barkley here in just a second, because it's beautiful. the pushback against blockheads who try to use their fame or their statue or whatever to just be dumb. And Charles Barkley, well, he knocked that one out of the park. He swished the three-pointer at the buzzer. I'm going to tell you why. We were speaking of Ken Paxton, attorney general from Texas, and how NBC is calling it his revenge as he's trying to endorse certain candidates in the Texas primary and helped push several over the finish line. It's not revenge. It's called the cycle of life in politics. If you suck and you're a Republican and you're not down with the view of MAGA for this future of our country, then pack your bags and move along, because our party is fractured in that regard. You're either on board or you're down over there. And if you're down over there, pack up. Did you guys know this? Of the 70 candidates on the ballot, the Texas GOP Attorney General Ken Paxton endorsed, 33 won their primaries outright. 10 have advanced to a runoff. Paxton helped defeat 7 Republican state House members who had voted to impeach him last year on corruption charges, even though the case completely blew up in their face. He also boosted 9 other GOP candidates for state House seats. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks are going to tell you that Ken Paxton is a threat to democracy. He wants revenge. No, this is the cycle. This is voters getting the opportunity to choose when presented with the facts of the trial. Show us the trial, broadcast it, air it live, be transparent. Let us see what is at stake and what the accusations are. And then let us decide. That's what this program that I do here is all about. I'm no genius. I'm not a political scientist. I've got no connections to the Beltway. I'm a mom. I pay bills. I work hard. I tell the truth. Period. Charles Barkley just got the pendulum. That boomerang came back and whomped him good. So he's on this stupid CNN show with Gayle King, and it is stupid. I'm just going to say it's stupid. So much of television is, which is why nobody's watching. And it's called King Charles. And they're talking about his outrage over a small segment of a clip that was taken from some black conservative... I don't even know what it was, some meeting, right? And Donald Trump is there and he's talking about how it's kind of surreal to see people in the black community wear shirts with his mugshot on it. And he makes the comment, I believe that because the black community has been wrongfully persecuted for many, many, many years, that they can see it happening to me and it hits close to home. And they see it's happening to me too. And they have a visceral reaction to it. Charles Barkley goes out of his mind. Oh, if I see anybody. Well, we've got the clip. What is it exactly that he said again, Brock?
He'd punch him in the face if he saw anybody.
That's right. Here I thought we had that sound. I didn't know if we did. Did we not find that sound? We didn't. Okay, that's fine. This is what he says. He does? You got it? Okay. I'm just calling for it early.
And you know who embraced it more than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible. You see black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts.
When you heard that, what did you think? Big sigh.
First of all, I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugshot, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
No, Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely. I'm going to just tell you something.
And then you will be arrested for assault. And then what?
I'm going to bail myself out and go celebrate.
Okay, so that was the comment. I'm going to punch him in the face. Well, a lot of black people who like Donald Trump and for their own personal reasons would wear his mugshot on their person have decided to fight back on this one. I'm not so sure Charles Barkley was expecting this. Headline from Breitbart. Barkley doubles down. If you're a black person wearing a Trump mugshot, quote, you are a freaking idiot. See, I don't think he doubles down. I think he's backpedaling. I don't think he was expecting the pushback specifically from the black community. This is the story. Former NBA player Charles Barkley said Wednesday on CNN's King Charles that black people who wear former President Donald Trump's mugshot-related merch are freaking idiots. Co-host Gail King said, I don't know if you know normally, you know, we're sitting here and we don't make the news, but this past week, Charles, I don't know if you know, but you've been in the news for some comments you made on our last show. Well, that was what he had said. Blah, blah, blah. Barkley said, number one, obviously, I'm not going to go around punching random strangers in the face, first and foremost. Secondly, so apparently the lawyers got involved on CNN. They're like, look, we might think it's funny because we're toxic leftist propagandists of suck, but there are a lot of people out there who aren't too pleased with what you said there, Charles. So now he's backpedaled. He didn't double down. He's going to call people who decide on their own what to wear, how to vote, whom to love, how to feel, where to go, what drugs to take or not. You're a freaking idiot. Well, it's kind of odd that a lot of people aren't down with that. In fact, we have a little picture I want to put up on the screen for you. Here's one guy. He is a completely jacked black guy. He's ripped. He's wearing a MAGA hat. He's got Donald Trump's shirt on. It says legend on it. It's his, not even his mugshot, but it shows him as though, you know, he's getting one taken. And the guy's name is Zeke Arkham. He says, anyone seen Charles Barkley? I heard he was looking for me. I grew up in the you hit me, I'm going to hit you back era. This is significant. The same way Rich Barris sees significant trends in his polling. And so it's hard for him to say what is a surprise and what isn't a surprise because he can see it percolating. You see the seed planted. You begin to see people awaken. And then you see it spread. And then you watch. It's not because P. Diddy or whomever the hell it is du jour today is rapping about Donald Trump, MAGA love, like Trump Latinos. It goes far deeper than that. It's a personal fundamental thing. And Charles Barkley just said, basically, that everything the left stands for, they really don't. Because if you deviate from what they think is right, you ought to be punched in the face. Or you ought to be called a freaking idiot. Charles Barkley, what a hypocritical schmuck you are. And what a shame. What a tragic shame that is. You don't represent a party of inclusion. You don't vote for equity. You're part of a cult. See, and that cult isn't about making America great. It's not about taking children in the cities that you should be representing. Those who are disenfranchised by Democrats, who are forced to attend public schools that we know are underachieving. Democrats who refuse to allow people to choose for themselves where their children should be educated. They stick them in these failing schools. Charles, you should be advocating about excellence because you advocated it on the court, in sports, in sheer tenacity. And now, like a blowhard, you're going to get up in a pulpit and you're going to giggle the way Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow and Stephanie Ruhle and the other lackeys on the left on MSNBC do. And you're going to snicker and make snide comments and mock the majority of us who have very basic needs. We have very basic desires. And the desires of MAGA, of supporting merit, And making life safe and getting back to the basics of being decent, honorable people and bringing morality and family values back into the discourse. That speaks volumes across all demographics. That's not a white thing. That's not a rich thing. That's not a I got a college degree thing. It's the commonality that should unite all of us. So I will agree and I will disagree with Breitbart. I'm glad they covered the story, but Charles Barkley isn't doubling down by pushing back or pulling back from "I'm going to punch you in the face" to "you're a freaking idiot." Either way, if you want to wear a Biden-Harris bumper sticker across your forehead, have at it. If you want to paint your house with Biden-Harris signs, that's fine. You go for it. Because you know the people who aren't criticizing you for that? Who aren't mocking you? Who aren't telling you you're stupid? Yeah, the very people who you say you want to punch. Chuck. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, I want to do this. We've got a great mashup for you. Do not go anywhere. It's the video you have to see as the left tries to turn this unanimous decision by the Supreme Court to keep Trump's name on the ballot in Colorado, but of course, everywhere. They're going to try to twist it in their own likeness. Aw, threats to democracy next. Before I get off this Charles Barkley thing, I had to read you this headline. Business, bizpackreview.com. I love this site. This is the headline from them. It's great. Charles Barkley threatens to punch black Trump supporters in the face. They're lining up. Okay? I want to just read some of the stuff. You guys ever watch or listen to David Webb on Patriot? He's awesome. David Webb. Okay, Charles Barkley, where do we meet? I can book a plane ticket while I'm on the air. How about this woman, Caroline? She says they think they own black people. Who exactly is racist here? This guy, whose Twitter moniker is Suburban Black Man. What Charles Barkley and other Democrat plantation puppets must understand is that black Americans are not afraid to support Donald Trump in 2024. Times have changed. Support for MAGA is shared by Americans of all backgrounds. We will not be bullied into groupthink voting. Wesley Hunt, he writes, Charles Barkley fell into the media's trap by taking a two-hour speech from President Trump out of context. One thing I can guarantee is when you see Wesley Hunt sporting the mugshot, Sir Charles won't be punching this combat vet in the face. What? How about this guy? His name is Shill on the Hill. Let him say that to Trump supporter Mike Tyson. And then this guy named Wookalar, he's the one who retweeted the guy I just put out, the totally ripped guy with the MAGA shirt and hat, who said, anyone seen Charles Barkley? I heard he was looking for me. Grew up in the you hit me, I'm going to hit you back era. I'm not so sure they were ready for that. And CNN can say, oh, well, you know, we're just going to backpedal. No, friends, MAGA's done and it's good. It's good. Okay, now I want to transition to this. So unanimity on the Supreme Court. How do you have unanimity when you have three liberal justices, right? And you have five who are conservative, and then there's, you know, John Roberts, who's just, I don't know. They've got naked pictures of him with someone somewhere. I don't know. But anyway, the high court says, you know what, unanimously, you cannot take off somebody's name from a ballot. It's done by Congress. Only Congress can do that. States can't do that. Knock it off. We're done. But the three dissenting, well, of the majority, they were all in the majority. The three liberal Democrats were like, you know what, we're not completely 100% on board with this, but we agree with the premise. In the decision, you cannot at the state level wave a wand and remove a person's name from the ballot. I want you to hear this delicious mashup of the desperate attempt of the media to try to spin this as it's not unanimous. It wasn't really unanimous. There's some shades of gray. Just shut up and move along. Here you go.
Call it a concurring dissent.
In court, appears to the naked eye to be deciding something 9-0. But when you peel back the appearances, it's really a 5-4 decision.
The big news out of the Supreme Court's Colorado decision wasn't so much that all nine justices ruled to keep Donald Trump on the ballot, which was expected, but that four justices, including Amy Coney Barrett, said the majority had gone too far.
I think it really doesn't sound quite right to say that this was unanimous when the court was so fractured over why exactly Trump should remain on the ballot.
I do want to point up the divisions. It's 5-4. This is a 5-4 ruling on part of it.
It was a 5-4 ruling when it came to the particulars of this case.
There is a split, 5-4, over whether the court should have brought Congress into the ruling. Help us understand the importance of this split.
The split is significant.
The three liberals on the court, it reads like a dissent.
The big sort of 5-4 split.
There's this amazing split in this particular decision.
The concurrences, which read like dissents.
It reads like a dissent.
What felt like more of a dissent, honestly, than a concurrence?
I think this was nominally a concurrence, but it had real big D energy, big dissent energy.
And it's 5-4, and notably the men versus the women, which is just a remarkable split.
I think it is encouraging that you had the four women basically saying, show restraint here.
I also think it's not an accident that it's the women who are taking the position that this is really a question of institutional integrity.
The three liberals' separate opinion was actually styled as a concurrence, but I looked at the metadata in the decision and it was originally styled as a dissent.
It seemed that the way that the decision was originally put out, it was put out like a dissent, but that they put it out as a concurrence.
Always read the dissent. That is my shorthand summary, and always watch what the court is doing.
Well, the concurrence. It's a concurrence.
The concurrence. Yeah.
It purports to be a concurrence in this case, so you got to read it all.
You got to read it all.
You got to read it all. You got to pass it to see what's in it. Oh, it seems like they all got the same talking points. Isn't that so neat? Isn't that so cool when you see how that happens? It all kind of comes together and hits you in the face, and you're like, huh. They're all saying the same thing. Oh, I know. We shouldn't have this much fun calling them out for sucking as much as they do. But they do. This is a threat to democracy. To tell you what something is or isn't. To tell you how to feel. To tell you how to vote. To tell you how to raise your children. To tell you what you should do with that baby growing inside of you. To tell you all of this, there has been a cataclysmic shift in the Democrat Party. The people they used to represent, I wonder if they ever actually did, or if it's always been one giant con. The fact of the matter is, when you put people in danger, when you make them feel unsafe, when you threaten their livelihoods, when you threaten their children, when you put the greatest generation in danger, and when you make things unaffordable and absolutely, maddeningly inconvenient, you wake up a lot of people from that trance, my friends. So glad you've been here with us. Come on back tomorrow. The Wendy Bell Radio program continues in 21 hours. Peace.